Joshua 24:15 has been our theme through this series of For Me and My House, a series on the home. And I hope it's a help to you. In the last week, it was time to make a decision. I know y'all not paying attention to me, you're just watching those kids. Might as well wait till they're done. All right, should I start over? You remember what I just said? Start over. I don't remember what I said. We are on this series of Me and My House. And as Joshua had commanded the children of Israel in that verse in Joshua 24:15 to make that decision. And that decision was to be made last week in your personal life. He said, this day, choose you this day whom you will serve. And you were to choose last week whether you were going to serve God or not. That's basically the gist of it. And yes, it's a hard pill to swallow. It's a very tough decision to make. We make godly decisions when things are well. We can serve God when things are going okay. But when things just go awry, we give up. And Joshua said, you better choose this day. And we talked about that and shared some things with that. We talked last Sunday night about the pyramid of a proper marriage, the pyramid of marriage, and the foundation is based on spiritual things, not on physical things or emotional things. They're based on the spiritual things. You have a good foundation, then your marriage will stand strong. It won't topple over. And so we kind of hit a little bit on the outskirts of relationships, the outskirts of the home, and made it a direct effort for you and I to make a choice, conscious choice, husbands, wives, teenagers, to serve God. And I said, if you're not going to make the decision to serve God, then you may as well not listen to anything else. Because beyond that, it's choices that you're going to serve God in this area, and I'll follow God in this area. But if I don't choose to serve Him from the very beginning, then I won't follow Him thereafter. Now we come down to, let's do some specifics, if we shall. And we have today, this morning, is going to be directed to the men. I know some are missing, and I've contacted a few, and I got a quiz, and I'm going to quiz you on. Those who are watching on Facebook, I'm going to quiz you. You know who you are. But God's going to quiz you today. He's going to quiz each one of us, men. And by the way, ladies, this is not for you to sit back and relax and get on Facebook. I don't want you doing that now. It's not time for you to nudge your husband and say, this is for you. He's got your number right there. This is not because your chance is tonight, okay? But your responsibility this morning is also to follow a lot of these things that the men are supposed to lead, okay? So go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. We'll be in Ephesians quite a bit over these next couple weeks. And this is a wonderful book, a wonderful chapter, really chapter 5 and chapter 6, concerning the home and concerning the relationship and every part of the home that is to be emphasized. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 25 through 28, if you don't mind. And let's all just stand. These are only about four verses, and so let's read this together. And chapter number 5 and verse number 25 through verse number 28. If you're there, say amen. All right, a few of you, y'all there now? Amen? All right, verse number 25. Husbands, y'all perk your ears up. Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And we could stop there and we talk about sacrificial love. God gave himself sacrificially to the church. We could talk about that. Why did he do that? He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He gave himself in love for results. you find verse number 26 are the results of his love. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. In other words, Christ does not want to be ashamed, church. Husbands, you don't want to stand before God and be ashamed of your family because you didn't do the job. As so ought men to love their wives. That word so means by this example that I have just said to you, Paul said, by this example of Christ, so ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He goes on, he says, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Well, what does that mean? If a man loves his own body, he is automatically to love his wife. Why? Where did the wife come from? Where did Eve come from? She came from Adam, didn't he? Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Therefore, he says in verse number 29, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord, the church. In other words, men, you are taking care of yourself, and in that, you are to take care of your wife. You are one flesh. God had designed it that way. Today's message on the series of the home is just simply this, a husband's love. A husband's love. And I hope it'll be a help to you. It's a powerful help to me. And if my wife could stand up and testify that, oh, yeah, he needs help in this area, I'll come up and do it for you, honey. I need help in this area too. Oh, amen. We all do. Don't put yourself out and say, I'm the most loving husband God's ever given to earth. No, you're not. Nobody is. Nobody's perfect. Your wife may think you are, but you're not. A husband's love. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray, God, you help us as husbands. Lord, I pray that you help our home. Lord, how we have degraded the home and it becomes so disorganized. So, Father, I pray that we would understand that the home is built on the husband's love. So, Father, I trust, God, that you'll have freedom in every heart today, especially the dads, the husbands, the men of the home. Well, thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Charles Spurgeon said, when home is ruled according to God's word, angels might be asked to stay with us. They would not find themselves out of their element. In other words, if the angels were come to live in our home, they would not find themselves out of the elements of heaven. One said, the home should be at the reflection of the entrance of heaven. Another said, the hinges of the home rests on the stability of the husband. How important, husbands, it is for you and I to understand our role in the home, our responsibility in the home. Many of you, and I'm grateful, I'm so thankful that many of you have turned in the surveys. If you haven't, you still may do so. I don't know if there's one back there or not. I picked them up this morning, and thank you for doing that. Had a church years ago that did this very same thing. I think only about 38% returned their survey. But I believe it's close to about 100% that y'all returned your survey. And I'm grateful for that. And with that, I read them and my heart broke. It really did. On the bottom, many had put on there what your prayer is or what you hope to see accomplished through this series. I believe with all my heart, I believe that you're sincere. I really do. One said, we need more family time. Several said to become a better spouse. We've had some that said to become a better parent. Others, dependency upon God for daily needs. One had mentioned how to be more encouraging. You know, encouragement is a wonderful element in the home that will keep the home moving. No matter how little or how big it is, encouragement is always needed. How to become more encouraging. Improving in some areas of my life. Improvement. You know what they're doing? They're seeking help. God's help. To be a spiritual leader. One said to see my failures. How important that is. I'm grateful for that. I read that and I thought, oh Lord, help them. Help me. To be more obedient to my parents. I thought that was sweet. I don't know the handwriting. I don't know what color ink you use. I don't know who any of these are. All right? If ladies, you use perfume on, I don't know if you sprayed a little bit. I don't know whose it is, okay? Y'all smell the same to me. One said, help understand God's Word. The more you're around God's Word, the more you understand God's Word. It's simple. You're around God's Word. In the home, you're around God's Word. At church, you're around God's Word. And certainly, we all need to understand and help in that. Need to work on, as a spouse. I need to work on myself as a spouse. Listen, there's some spouses that are saying to the Lord, I need help in this area. I need help with my spouse. I need help as a parent. To be a better wife, to be a happier wife. Husbands, you know what your responsibility is? To bring joy, to bring peace, to bring laughter, to bring happiness into the home. There's some wives that need that. We need to make sure that we're doing our part. Patience. Heal fractures. Hurts. Brokenness. There's some homes and marriages that need healing. That need help. I want to say all these are a matter, and certainly they're a purpose of the heart. There's a lot of things that deal with the heart in this. Some of these can be an easy fix. Others will take time. Others will take dedication. Others take a lot of determination. Healing process is not always overnight. It's not always within a week. It can take a while. You need to be patient. You need to be loving with one another. For the most part, our homes and our marriages are average. I believe the Christian home ought to be a well above average. I really do. I believe it ought to be a notch above the norm and go on beyond that. There are some that have some wonderful answers and even one had added some more to it. I thought that was great. That's wonderful. But then there are others that there's some help needed. There's some issues that need to be attended to in the home and in the marriage. I wondered why the Lord several months ago had just laid it on my heart to do this, and it's apparent. Listen, if you have a strong home, I'll repeat it once, and if I don't repeat it 100 times, if you have a strong home, you'll have a strong church. You have a strong church, you'll have a strong society. And I can go on from there, a strong nation. But listen, you need to have a strong home. But you'll never have a strong home. Your home will be no more stronger than the weakest spiritual person in your home. So husbands, it is our responsibility, as we find in Ephesians, to be the leader or the head of the home and the one that displays the love of the home. Ephesians chapter 4 is a recap to remind the husbands and wives of Ephesus that they are no longer walking in darkness. They've been saved. They're different individuals. The book of Ephesians is a wonderful reminder of who we were, but who we are supposed to be, how we are to walk. As he says in chapter 4, and verse number 1, to walk worthy of our vocation, our calling, our description, our position in Christ, to walk worthy of that. How does that take place? How am I to walk worthy of this? Well, look with me in chapter 4, in verse number 22. He says that you put off the old former conversation. Put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man. That old man that's corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. And until we change ourselves, as God changes on the inside, amen. Schofield said that salvation is an internal change with an outward action. I mean, God changed me on the inside, amen. He changed my heart. He changed my life. He changed my destination. I'm a child of the King. But that doesn't always mean that once I'm saved, all these old tattered clothes fall off. I still many times live in the former conversation. I still many times follow after the flesh, as Brother Duggan mentioned in our Sunday school class, that sin, it has more gratification in our life than the stronger desire to serve God. It's easy. Sin's gratifying. Would you not agree? I mean, boy, it's fun. Let's just say it. It's fun. Sin is fun. It's enjoyable, but it's wrong. You'll have fun, you'll have a good time for a season, but after that, you're going to have consequences. So Paul said, your former life, to what you used to do, how you used to walk, how you used to be, you're no longer to do that. Men, we are to have a new creation. We are a new creation. We are to have a new conversation that we now live. And that conversation, that life, is to display Christ, to display not just Christ, but God Himself. Our actions, our heart, and our mind. Verse number 27, neither give place to the devil. You know what that means? You know, when we were kids, everybody had a job. You ever have that kind of home? Everybody had a job. Everybody had a job around supper time. All right? Whoever set the table didn't have to clear the table. And then you divide it up. Somebody had to wash, somebody had to dry, somebody had to put away. I like putting away because you didn't have to do anything right away. You know, you were off the scene for a while. If you were the washer, you had to be there right away and you had to start the whole process. The dryer, you know, the dryer had to do everything. The washer got by with some things because we always say, well, they're soaking. You know, it's got to sit there. It's soaking, Mom. No, you don't have to soak it. Scrape it. Work it, you know. But everybody had a job. And one of the jobs was to set the table. All right? So we would set the table. There were six of us in the family, so we'd set the table. Two on each end and one on each end. That's six of us. And so now when we had somebody come over, we'd pull out the leaf. You ever do that? Pull out, put the leaf in, and then you'd set more places for the company to come. We have a table. We can set about 12 around. We have a table that goes about 9 feet long, and we set everybody around and grab as many chairs as we can. We set places for everybody, and not just for ourselves, but we set them for the guests that come. We set a place for them so they can sit down, they can have a conversation with us and enjoy us and fellowship with us. And that's what Paul says, you set a place for the devil. you now give them a place to come and sit down and conversate with you and have a good time with your family. That's what he's saying. You set place for the devil in your own home. He says, don't do that. He's telling the Ephesians to your communication in your home, the way you talk to one another. He's telling the Ephesians this. They're saved. Husbands and wives, he's telling them this. Your conversation is filthy. Your conversation is ugly. Your conversation is worldly. As a matter of fact, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. The way you speak to one another. Short answers, grunts, complaints. That grieves the Holy Spirit of God. He said, well, put away wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Put those things away from you. You're no longer that person. Many times, husbands, we come home from work. You know what? We're just grumpy, aren't we? Had a long day. I'm tired. People. One pastor said, if it weren't for people, I'd enjoy pastoring. If it weren't for people, we'd probably all be happy too. But you know, we don't live in a world with no people. You know, if you lived on an island, you probably still wouldn't be happy. He says, I want you to put away these things. It's communication. Bitterness. Well, I tell you what, bitterness runs rampant in many homes today. You're angry. Ephesian Christians, their actions that were being displayed wasn't, and their practices that they were living wasn't Christ-like. It wasn't Christ-like. Their life and the deconstruction of their relationships were evident. Paul wouldn't have said it. Paul wouldn't have wrote this if this wasn't going on. If this was going on in the first century church, I guarantee it's going on in the second and third and fourth, and we're already in the 20th century church, 21st century church, and it's still taking place today. The problem was, and again, still is today, that we're not governing our homes by the Word of God. Even the professing Christian homes are not governed by the Word of God. God's not your authority. God's not doesn't have his place in the home. The home ought to be a place of joy and bliss. The poet William Cowper, I don't know if you ever read any of his poetry. William Cowper said, the only bliss of paradise that has survived the fall should be the home. Paradise was closed because of sin. Paradise was closed because of the sin that took place between Adam and Eve. They had a wonderful, wonderful place that they walked and talked with God. And William Cowper said that the home ought to be just that small portion of bliss that escaped the fall. Your home ought to be like paradise. And the question is it a lot of havoc going on, a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, a lot of arguing? It didn't happen in paradise. Your home ought to be paradise. Now, we're going to get to the guys. Don't worry. I know you're anxious about it. I can tell that, all right? We have to ask ourselves, what is the blueprint that'll help my home? What is that blueprint that'll help my family? And by the way, even if you're single, it applies to you. You're part of God's blueprint, whether you're single or whether you're married. You're part of God's blueprint. If you're married with children or if you're married and your children are gone, you're still part of God's blueprint. And I say that because God wants every woman, every man, every child that he has designed for the home. He wants them to fulfill that role. And so we notice in chapters 5 and 6 that it deals with the complete home life. In chapter 5 and chapter 6, it deals with this complete home life that Paul reminds us, and he tells us that we are to walk worthy of. Not as other Gentiles walk in 4:17, but walk in love, as he tells us in 5:2. Too many homes are falling apart because we're not walking in love. Love for one another. Love in Christ. Too many homes are failing because we live by feelings and not by the Spirit of God. I know you have feelings. I've got feelings. But I'll not let feelings dictate my actions all the time. too many homes and mentioned, give place to the devil. And we find ourselves in a whirlwind of trouble and whirlwind of hurt. The love that is designed by God, the love that is to stem in the home or to become the great foundation of the home is to stem from the husband himself. Let me just say that again so it'll sink in a little bit. And trust me, it has to sink into me too, all right? If I wasn't up here, I'd be down there. And I'd rather be down there, to be honest with you. The love in your home, the love in my home, will stem from the husband. I said, "Preacher, what about her? Oh, she used to love you. She's not out of the picture. But love will stem from the husband." I'm going to give you a quick trailer, if I will, all right? A trailer is one of those things you watch the movie, you know, you want to see a movie, you want to see a little bit about it, just to pique your interest. Here's a trailer of what we're going to talk about in the upcoming weeks. The whole picture, and Brother Abram got it last night when I mentioned the picture of the home is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. You have the Trinity. The Bible says God, the Trinity, is the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, right? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the beginning or the root of all love. God is the root of all love. And I'll share some verses on that. The Son, the Holy Spirit, is the example of complete obedience and submission to Christ, to God Himself, to God the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the example of obedience. The Father is the example of love. God the Father, the example of love. Jesus Christ, the example of submission. And the Holy Spirit, the example of obedience. The husband, the example of love. The wife, the example of submission. And the children, example of obedience. You have the Trinity in the home. And if one of those areas of the Trinity are out of proportion or out of balance, then your home is out of balance. And we're going to share that with you. We're going to start with the husbands. Fathers, love, that foundation where God Himself is the prime example. And so when we look at this in verse number 22, we'll see this father's love. Home is to be a happy home, and love must be present. It must be present. And husbands, men, we are to be the experts on the love in the home. We are to be the experts on this. We're to teach our wives how to love, show them how to love, our children how to love. Love is a composition of ingredients. All these things, that ingredient that is a primary result of your relationship with God Himself. Galatians, go back here to Galatians chapter number 5. Let's go back a book. And here you find that love has many factors. It's not just love and then some other things that are separated. I want you to understand, love encompasses everything, and you'll find that in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, in Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? First of all, is what? Love. Say that again, please. Love. After that, listen, if you don't have love, you'll not have long-suffering. If you don't have love, you'll not have joy. You not have peace. If you don't have love, there will be no gentleness, no meekness, no goodness. If love isn't there. So husbands, when we're talking about love in the home, it's not just kissing your wife or kissing your children goodnight. It's not just a physical aspect of love. Love encompasses joy, meekness, tenderness, long-suffering. It encompasses all these things. And men, we are to display every one of them as God Himself displayed it for you and me. God is love, who is patient and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all to come to repentance. God is merciful. He's gracious. He's tender. He's forgiving. Husbands, are you a forgiving husband? You forgive her because your laundry wasn't done right? Amen? My wife have a wonderful, wonderful system in our home. She does hers, I do mine. Mine get left in the dryer, it's my fault. I got to iron them, because of that, it's my fault. We do that because, I don't know how we started that. It just works. You got to find things that work in your life. I don't yell at her for that. I never yelled at her for my laundry anyways. Do you forgive her because your potatoes were burnt? Do you forgive her because she spent more money on groceries than you told her to? Where's that receipt at, honey? You forgive her? You practice these things? You're upset because you have expectations of your wife that sometimes she doesn't fulfill. You're supposed to do this and this and this. Why didn't this get done or that get done? Listen, I'm gonna tell you something, and you might as well swallow like a horse pill because it's going to go down a little hard. It's not her responsibility, men. It's not your wife's responsibility to make the supper. Oh, preacher. Oh, let me finish, all right? Brian, you're looking at me like, Roman noodles from now on. It's not your wife's responsibility to do the laundry. It's not your wife's responsibility to do the dishes. No, wait a minute, preacher. It's been like this for ages. My mom and dad did this. My grandma and grandpa did it. Let me take you back to the garden, shall we? You see, God said, Adam, you can't do it all, although all the responsibility falls on you. But you need somebody to help you. And so God said, I'm going to create a helpmeet. And husbands, your wife is your helpmeet, not your slave or your servant. And all God's women said, I always wanted to do that. That's what I see in Scripture. Listen, if God didn't give me a wife, I'd have to do it all myself. But God gave me a wife to help me accomplish the things that are needed in the home. My wife doesn't answer to God for the things that are needed in the home or things that are done in the home. I answer to God for that. Because God's given me the responsibility to be the head of the home, even as Christ is head of the church. Husbands, it's our responsibility to love, to show that patience, that gentleness, that not bitterness towards one another. It's a sacrificial love. And we are to teach others, our wives and our children. And you're going to teach them through your action, not just say, you need to love one another. Mom always used to say, you guys just need to love each other. How do you do that? I'm mad at them right now. We just got done fighting one another right now. You guys just need to love each other. Now go out and play. But, you know, husbands, we can't just say, I love you. You know that. Golly. I told you last week. Gave you grocery money. That's love. Filled your tank up for it. Well, halfway, because it was cold outside. Love isn't just saying it. Love shows tenderness. love, husbands, is when your wife is having one of those days where she can't explain. She can't really explain what's going on in her heart, on her mind. Emotions are all out of whack. Amen, women? Ladies, you understand? You understand what I'm saying? Of course you understand what I'm saying. You're a lady. But we don't understand what all you go through. I understand. God didn't make the composition together. We're not the same. But husbands, we are to show tenderness and long-suffering and gentleness towards our wives. They're the weaker vessel. That's what Peter said. They're the weaker vessel. They're fragile. They break easy. Doesn't mean they're less valuable. That's what we sometimes think. Well, the wife is less valuable than the husband. No, I know some things that are stout and can stand the test of time and have the value of a penny. But I know some things that are so fragile that if you look at them wrong, they'll break and they have a value that I couldn't even pay for. Your wife is fragile and valuable. God Himself is that picture of love. Wives, you're to love your husband. You know that. You're to love your husband. But what do we say many times? Well, you don't know my husband. Oh, you don't. Trust me, you don't know my husband. It's hard to love my husband. He doesn't show the love to me, so therefore I won't show my love to him. And I can understand that. I can understand that. But you know, husbands, if you show your love to her, I can guarantee you she'll show her love to you. The Bible says, as God's our picture, He says that husbands love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. God is that foundation. God is love Himself. You'll find in John 4:9, we love Him because He first loved us. Husbands, you love your wives. Your wives will love you back even the more. You prove that love, and they'll prove their love. You don't say, well, she don't love me. Well, I ain't going to love her. She don't love me like she should. It's because you don't love her like you should. Let's just put it where the responsibility rests. Husbands, it rests on you and me. The responsibility of love rests on you and me. You don't have love in your home? You better examine yourself, husbands. It's because of you. You don't have love in the relationship? Better examine yourself, husbands. Well, God loved us even though you and I didn't deserve love. She don't always deserve love. Did that change God? You're that picture. You're to be that foundation. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Herein is love, 1 John 4:10, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Hey, God loved me even while I was yet sinners. I didn't deserve His love. I didn't ask for His love. There are many days in my life I didn't want His love, but He still loved me no matter what my choice was. He loved me with an unending love, a boundless love, an overwhelming love that one day captured my heart, and now I love Him with all my heart. And husbands, if you love your wife with an unending, boundless love, a love that will overtake, she will love you just the more. Love, God's love was proven. It was made known to us. It was displayed for all to see. But God, who is rich in mercy, for with His great love, wherewith He loved us. Husbands, show your love. Prove your love. Titus 3:3-4 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Listen, husbands, don't evaluate or don't regulate your love based on the atmosphere of home. Your love is to be based on the atmosphere of godliness. Your love is grounded and rooted and based on the foundation of God's love. If your home is a wreck, then you just need to love them all the more. If your wife's upset, love her through it. If your children are having a bad day, love them through it. We're going to talk about discipline and all this other stuff later on. I'm not talking about sitting down with your children and give them a sucker and tell them you've been a bad boy or a bad girl. I don't know. God's got a plan for you, okay? But husbands, you and I are to display this love. None of us deserve it. But God loved us no matter what. His love overcomes faults and failures. In closing, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul's talking about the love that he has. You know, verse 1, he says, if I speak with tongues of men and angels just become sounding brass or tinkling cymbal and have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, in verse number 2, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. He goes on, verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, profiteth me nothing. What is charity? Charity is love. I want you to understand that. That's the biblical word for love, charity is. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. You know what that means? Husbands, don't be selfish. You better meet the needs of your wife. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And charity never faileth. Love, gentlemen, is that which God has given the responsibility for you and me to have the characteristic in our home. Love is that characteristic that is found in the Holy Father, in our Father, that now, men, you are to be that picture of. You are to be that example of. Your wife will love you as you love her. Your children will love you as you love them. You fly off the handle, and so will they. I've known kids that just act like their parents, good and bad. You become frustrated, so will they. Listen, dads, you become unfaithful to God, mark my words, so will they. You become a hypocrite in your home, you might as well mark the calendar, because I'm going to say, I told you so. Well, so will they. You become that hypocrite, so will they. You lack in this characteristic of love, dads, and so will they. See, love hinges on the husband of the home. It's not a matter of give and take. It's a matter of give. God gave his only son. Jesus gave his back to the smiter. He gave us salvation so freely. You and I are to give our love as a picture of our Heavenly Father, for God is love. No matter she spent too much on groceries, which she does, but that's okay. know what that means? There's just more food in the house. It's okay if things just go upside down for the day. Display that love through it. Things get bleak. Things get a little dark in the home. It's your responsibility, husbands, to show that godly love. Walk through it. You say, preacher, what do you mean darkness in the home? Whatever God deems. But I know God's there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. God's going to be with us through that. But husbands, you're to help lead through that. And your love is to be there. It's to expand our home life, our atmosphere in our home life. It'll stem from the husband's love. Your wife and your children will follow your leadership. Can I say this in closing? In all honesty, in all reality, your home depends on it. Your home will depend on your love for God and how you display that love in your home. It depends on it. You are that first picture of our Heavenly Father, husbands. The love that brought salvation down to man. And that love is to be your characteristic in the home. And everyone else's love will come after that. I didn't love God, but He loved me first, therefore I love Him. Men, husbands, it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Do you? Do you love like you should? Your home depends on it.